Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly flavored. Highly favored. Sunday is the Feast of Tabernacles at the Calvary Assembly, which we go every year and get down to get up. Oh, praise God. Would you grab your swords, please, and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4? And if you don't have one, we have plenty. At least I believe we do. If you need a Bible, ask and you shall receive. We are a training ministry. We are a ministry of the Spirit, not of the soul. We convert the soul, but we are led by the Spirit. Amen? We want to be like Jesus in the character. Just like Jesus. He didn't take any garbage from any demon. Walked in the Spirit, walked in both realms. He called it exactly the way it was. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 1, would you read it with me? Now the Spirit expressly says, is everybody there? Let's try that again. The what? The Spirit expressly, let me tell you, when the Spirit expressly says something, he's saying, get me your attention. These are warnings. These are things of counsel, future counsel. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, are we in the latter times? Some will depart from the, what? Faith. Now, you know, first of all, let me explain a little bit about faith. There's no such thing as blind faith. People who talk about blind faith walk in assumption. Well, I'm walking by faith. First of all, faith has got nothing to do with blindness. Faith has to do with spiritual sight. Why? Because when God speaks, you see, then you obey. That is called faith. It is not called, well, I'm walking out in faith. Well, what are you walking out in faith? Well, I don't know. I'm doing this in faith. Well, did you see it? No, I'm not. Well, that ain't faith. When the Lord told Abraham to get up and move, it's because God told Abraham, Abraham saw it, and he moved. Did everybody get that? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Why? Because when God speaks, you see, if you're able to see. There's too many people that walk in assumption and get themselves in trouble. Well, I'm walking by faith. Well, if it's, how's it working for you? Hello? I hear that from a lot of people. I'm walking by faith. Well, really? Then why is everything a mess? That it's not faith. That's stupidity. We don't walk in assumption. First rule in this house is don't assume nothing. We want the truth. We want to know exactly what we're supposed to do. We don't walk by assumption. We walk by faith. And faith is what? Spiritual sight. And he says, many are going to fall from the faith. They're going to depart from the faith. What's going to happen? They're going to become blinded. They're going to lose sight. Why? How's this going to happen? They're going to give heed to deceiving spirits. Those are demons that come and speak to you, and you agree with them. Has everybody got it? It's a demon that comes up to you and speaks to you, and you agree with him. These are spirits that entice you. Listen, the ruler of this world is Satan, and his demonic forces are everywhere. There are demons everywhere. Millions of them. They are offsprings of fallen angels. They're not angels. They don't fly. They're foot soldiers for Satan's kingdom. And a believer can have a demon. So let's just clear that up right now. Well, how can a demon be with the Spirit of God? Well, we live and have our being in God, right? Hello? This is nothing about religiosity. This is reality. You want religion? I'm sure there's a couple buildings down the street here that you want. Hallelujah. Okay, so what happens is they lose their sight. They become blind. And he says it's going to happen. And many people are losing sight. Do you know that they're giving and exchanging the true reality of Christ Jesus for the things of the world? Any believer who promotes same-sex marriage and abortion is an idiot. And that's called spiritually blinded. Why? Because they are blinded. They have lost their sight. Would God approve that? Hello? Does God approve killing babies? No. Does he approve same sex? No. In fact, how can a man and a man produce an offspring? Duh. You have to be a plumb idiot. Not to just comprehension. A little common sense. God did not make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. Amen? Those are demons. And believe me, we see them get free. Okay, so he said, taking heed to deceiving spirits. Deceiving spirits are demons that try to access you. They want to come back because they need a place to live. They used to have a body and they needed one. And some people can have thousands of them. And he says, doctrines of demons. So deceiving spirits, amen? These are unseen spirits, and then there'll be false doctrines that are going to be manifested, all kinds of religiosities. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, they will become hardened. And what will happen is it says that forbidding to marry. In other words, we don't need to get married. We can just live together. That's cool. Let's test this out first. Come on, we were all there in the world doing that. I did it too. I wasn't born this way, let me tell you. I was born again this way. I was a heathen amongst heathens. King of the heathen. Forbidding to marry. Forget marriage, man. Let's check it out first. Because if you don't fulfill, you're out of here. That's how the world lives. Why making a commitment? See, they don't believe in covenant, for better or worse. Well, if you're going to get married under the hand of God, it better be for better. Unless you're marrying the wrong person, then you got troubles. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe in what? They know the truth. They know the truth. So they will depart from the faith. They will lose spiritual sight. And what's going to influence them is unseen spirits, false doctrine, lies, what are going to promote hardened hearts. What's going to happen is they're going to cause a removal of godly ethics and morals and become religious, losing relationship with God Almighty. And people have moved away from that right now. We are seeing a tremendous flow of many backsliders. Tremendous. Taking heed, deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, and being moved out of position. In 1 Peter chapter 5. And what happens is they begin to lose sight, spiritual sight, vision. 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Everybody there? Let's read it together, please. Therefore what? Humble yourself. That means deny yourself. Eat some humble pie. Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may what? Exalt you in due time. You don't have to exalt yourself. Casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. Anybody got a care? Don't raise your hand. Everybody has a care. It's the problem is people's cares turn into burdens. Oh, what if, how, when? They get freaky, bound by fear. What's going to happen? Let me tell you, the peace of God does something very powerful. It puts you in a place of whatever. See, there's no cares. Does everybody get this? There's no cares. There's that area where, yes, we're concerned about certain things, but there's no burdens. These burdens that we carry, we're to give to him. See, if you're truly submitting your spirit, soul, and body, and flesh to him every day, you shouldn't have nothing. Just him. Casting your cares upon him, for you, he cares for you. You know, there's people that go around and pick up everybody's cares. Hi, I'm a care protector. I'm a care picker. They go to fruits. They go to look for trees. People that are trees or spirits, and they take all their burdens. Oh, let me share that burden with you. Oh, get behind me. It says in verse 8, be what? Be what? That means alert. Be sober. Be alert. Be vigilant. Be consistent, because you can't be alert without being consistent. You know, this is not a drive-through. Hello? It's not a drive-through. Because you won't learn enough driving through. God is going to take us on a process. When we cry out for help, you know what he does? He puts us in a place to learn. Why? Because freedom is learned. Trust is earned. So as we're learning and putting these things into practice, we gain his trust. The thing is when you start letting these things go, you lose his trust. So we got to come to a place where we are alert, we are vigilant, we are consistent. It says, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a lion, seeking whom he may devour or whom he may blind again or he may take your sight. He wants to take your spiritual sight. Does everybody get this? It's very important for him to take that from you. And you know what? He can't take it from you unless you give it to him. So what he does is he convinces you to make exchanges. He tempts you. Just like Esau sold his birthright. People sell their sight, their spiritual sight, for the things of the world. In Ezekiel chapter 12. Losing your sight. You know, you may lose your physical sight, but you will never lose your spiritual sight unless you give it up. We know the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Ezekiel 12. In verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house. Now the word house is associated not only with a dwelling place, but it's associated with a person. It's called a house. These temples are called a house. Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see, but what? Doesn't see. Even though it has eyes, it don't see. And he's talking about rebellion. Why? Because rebellion promotes blindness. I'm going to say that again. Rebellion promotes blindness. So when you choose to become rebellious, you're already becoming blind. What are you doing? You're exchanging your spiritual sight for your rebellious will. It says, which have eyes to see but don't see, and ears to hear but don't hear, for they are a rebellious house. Therefore, son of man, prepare your belongings for captivity. Hello? Bondage is a terrible place to be. Because when you're in bondage, you don't make right decisions. Has everybody got that? When you're in bondage, you don't make right decisions. So you got to come out of bondage to become free so you can make right decisions. Therefore, son of man, prepare your belongings for captivity and go into captivity by day in their sight. You shall go from your place into captivity to another place in their sight. It may be that they will consider, though they are a what? Rebellious house. So again, rebellion brings blindness. They begin to lose sight. When we become rebellious, when we first look at, that's all you have to begin to do is agree with rebellion. And spiritual blindness will start coming and you'll begin to lose your spiritual sight bit by bit. Listen, the devil doesn't come and just take it in 1 minute. He says he's the most cunning beast. He slowly takes it. And the next thing you know, you're in a position like, oh my God, how did I get here? I can't believe I'm agreeing with this. Does everybody get it? Come on, everybody's been there at some time. I don't believe I agreed with this. I was more bold about this before. What happened? You become rebellious and not even know. In Genesis, now let me share something before we go. Rebellion not only brings blindness and losing of sight, and one of the things that promote rebellion, I'm going to share with you right now, is a soulish lifestyle. And pride, because pride and soulishness go together. That's where a person is living out of the soul instead of out of the spirit. Is everybody okay? They're living out of what? The soul. Why? Because their feelings dictate everything. Oh, I don't want to hurt their feeling. Oh, that's just so wonderful what they're doing, even though they're rebellious. I'll just promote that. Dumb. That means you're blinded already. That means you're already losing your spiritual sight because you're compromising and being complacent and you become lazy. Does everybody understand? Genesis chapter 3. Hallelujah! Losing your sight. You know, when you finally get the realization that you're losing your sight, you need to do something about it. Amen? I was slowly losing some of my sight. And I kept fighting it. I was fighting getting reading glasses. This was about 8 years ago, 10 years ago, probably longer than that, who knows. Been doing this for 20 years. And I was reading the scriptures in front of everyone. And it said, it was about a parable about a landowner. Some of you heard this already. And I started talking about a lawnmower. I was like, ah! Lawnmower, and it came right out of my mouth. And the lawnmower. I gave in and got a pair of glasses. Started off with like 40s or 50s. Now I'm 125s, 180s, who knows, you know. But you know, you got to make a change so you can spiritually see. Hello? So that when you begin to realize that you're drifting from seeing, you must make a change before you become blinded. Amen? That means you're going to have to humble yourself, and you're going to have to come against sometimes what you believe is right, even though it's not right. See, so many times people believe for what they believe. They fight for what they believe is right, even though it's rebellious. Is everybody okay? Anybody ever fought for something that they believe was right, but it was rebellious? Yeah, we all did. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Let's read it together. Now the serpent was what? More what? More cunning than any beast of the field. That means he can outwit you in a second without the spirit. Has everybody got it? If you're not in the spirit and you're not sensitive to the things of the spirit, the devil will outwit you in a second. Because he's doing it to everyone else. It says that the Bible says that the whole world is under the sway of the devil. People are living for themselves. There isn't too many people that live for God. Hello? Even in the body of Christ, there's still people that are in survival mode instead of surrender mode. They're still building their empire instead of expanding the kingdom. Hallelujah. And the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And the serpent said to the woman, so does the serpent speak? Ah. Now, if you're not sensitive enough, you won't know that he's speaking to you. And then you're going to agree with it. One of the things he always says is, how you feeling? And before you can answer it, he says, you feel terrible. You're oppressed. Nobody loves you. You're alone. Come on, you're so alone. You hate yourself. You might as well just kill yourself. Next thing you know, person's all messed up just by agreeing with that voice. See, one of the things the devil loves to do is promote an independent spirit. And the Spirit of God promotes unity, not independence. We are to be dependent on Christ. Amen. But keep the spirit of unity amongst one another. You know what the most important thing is? Jesus always said something, and even Paul was talking about being like-minded. Man, you know what pleases the Lord is when we become like-minded. When we see the way he sees. Amen? I mean, that really pleases the Lord. It doesn't mean that we got to be perfect. Hello? But when our decisions are according to what he sees is what we want to see. Jesus walked in both realms, didn't he? The Bible says he didn't do anything unless he saw the Father do it first. Now, it takes practice to walk in the Spirit, doesn't it? It's not something that's just overnight. But if you're consistent, you're going to learn. And you're going to learn the tactics of the enemy. You're going to know way ahead of time when he starts trying to deceive you and manipulate you. That first voice that comes that promotes yourself, or that promotes rebellion, you'll be sensitive to it. That first voice that comes, it tries to bring oppression or guilt or condemnation. There's a difference between conviction. The Holy Spirit convicts and steps back. What you gonna do? Come on. What'd you do? Come on, let's get this right. Let's get back in line, get in order. Let's get in divine order. He doesn't beat you up. Amen? Because he loves us. All right, let's go a little further. And so the serpent said to the woman, verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. So she knew, didn't she? Amen? But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you what? Touch, lest you what? Die. Touch. Well, if you touch and agree with it, does everybody get it? It says, to touch and agree, it comes to pass. People have no idea sometimes that the enemy, if he can get you to touch and agree with his voice and your thought, it's going to come to pass, because as a man thinks, so he is. Okay. Then the serpent said to the woman, you want to know really what he said to the woman? You don't really want to know what he said to the woman, do you? He basically said, you've been lied to, and God's a liar. But I'm going to tell you the truth. What was he trying to do? Promote what? Rebellion. Does everybody get that? See, the enemy entices you that he has something better than God. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely won't die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be what? Open. Now, I want you to understand something vitally important. She was able to see the serpent, and they were also able to see the Lord. He walked in the garden with them. His own children talked to him face to face, and they saw the serpent. He was not invisible. He was visible to them because they had spiritual sight. What he was trying to do was steal that sight. So he said, if you'll agree with me, I got a lot more. For God knows, in verse 5, that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. In other words, he was going to take them away from the tree of life, eternal, and righteousness, and exchange that for good and evil. See, they didn't need to go eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because they would have learned it by God. But they would have stayed in the eternal presence of visualization to see all things. And verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, in other words, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, pride of life, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were what? Open. So they were opened to another realm. And they were closed to the spiritual realm. The moment they took of that, they lost sight of the serpent. They were only open to the arena of creation, but they lost sight of the serpent, and they lost sight of the Lord. Watch. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves coverings. And they heard, they no longer saw. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said, Where are you? Like he didn't know. What was he doing? He was testing. And so he said, I heard your voice in the garden. Why? Because he could no longer see him. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Remember, Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. So again, spiritual sight was lost in the garden. Does everybody get it? And God tried to implement the arena of spiritual sight, but it wasn't a permanent thing. It was through the covenant and in the areas of laws that where people knew that the things that displeased God. Does everybody get it? Through the what we call the Ten Commandments. That was in hope to bring some sight to the things that were displeasing to God. Now, Adam and Eve's eyes were open to good and evil, and they were open to the soulish arena of emotional sight. Everything was about emotion now. More emotion. Emotional sight. Living out of the soul now. Their eyes were closed to the truth, to the spirit realm, to life, and to righteousness. And you and I were born blind. That's how we were until we're born again, filled with the Spirit. Then the scales come off. And then it's like, woohoo! Glory. But the enemy always tries to replace those and bring blinders back. He constantly wants to steal your sight. Why? Because he fears you. He fears you. See, he's more afraid of you than what you're supposed to be of him. But he's got all of his tactics. You know, he puts all these horror flicks on and people running around because of things moving in the house and they got Pokemon and all these demonic games and, you know, all of this cursed items and all this other stuff. Always promoting evil, making evil powerful. Hello? Evil is always powerful in the world. I can't stand those programs. And they even have these religious flicks on where the dude's throwing holy water and pulling up a cross. And what the heck is that? It's got nothing to do with biblical. You might as well spit on the demon. It ain't going to do nothing. And they try to remove the demons from the houses. They got all these haunted houses. And they got these psychic idiots that go in there and said, oh, yes, this and this and this. Here, throw a little salt here. Burn this. And the demon will leave. No, he won't. He just changes course and comes as another person. Or brings a few others in and say, come on, there's a party in this place. These people are stupid. The Bible says that you and I have authority, and those signs will follow those who believe in him and follow him. It says the first thing, that they will cast out devils. Why? Because they're their hindrance. They will speak new tongues. That's what you heard. Get baptized in the Holy Spirit. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Somebody get it? Why? Because we overcome by the power of our testimony, the blood of the Lamb. And we don't love our lives to death because we live for him, not us anymore. There's a difference. Is everybody okay? Yes. Zechariah 5. Zechariah chapter 5. In verse 1, it says, then I turned and raised my eyes, and I saw there a flying scroll. And he said to me, what do you see? Let me tell you, those are things that God will begin to speak to you. What do you see? What do you see? I used to be at places and the Holy Spirit would come and say, what do you see? And I used to try and get away with it for a while. Whatever you want. Eventually, he wouldn't accept that. What do you see, guy? And we would have a discussion on what I saw. And he would adjust my vision. Whatever I needed to see correctly. Learn this. Learn this. Learn this. What do you see? Learn this. What do you see? Learn this. Isn't that what the Lord was doing with Zechariah? What did he say? He said to me, what do you see? So I answered, I see a flying scroll. Don't make sense, but I see a flying scroll. He said, you saw right. Let me tell you, not everything that you see in the spirit is going to make sense. Its length is 20 cubits and its width is 10 cubits. I would say he had a good hold on that. He knew exactly the measurements of it. Then he said to me, this is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled according to this side of the scroll, and every perjurer shall be expelled according to that side of the scroll. And I will send out the curse, says the Lord of hosts. It shall enter the house of the thief, the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. It shall remain in the midst of his house and consume it with its timber and stones. In other words, let me share with you right now, there's a curse on the United States. There's a curse here. Why? Because it's gone rebellious towards God. There's a curse. We got people that are perjuring. We got liars in the White House, demonizing them. In fact, they're dogs. That's what the word dog means, demonized person. So don't let anybody call you a dog. Hey, dog, what's going on? Get behind me, homie. Amen? So don't let nobody call you a dog, man. So in this, we see that there's a curse on the earth. Amen? And that curse is because of rebellion and because of the lying and thievery and everything else that's going on. And it's right in this country, right at the head. Go to Judges 16. This country is drinking Kool-Aid, and it's losing its sight. Many. It's amazing. I can't believe people voted Obama back in office. Especially when he declared that this country is no longer Christian. Come on. You know how many Christians voted for that, dude? And it's not him. It's the demons in him. That's why you need to pray he gets delivered. Filled with the Holy Ghost. But he's on a mission. It's all fulfillment, of course. Amen? We're watching prophecy be fulfilled right before our eyes. We are in the latter days. You know, and every one of us wants to fulfill that mission that God sent us into the earth for. You're not sent here just to, play games or you know, party, or God sent you into this earth on a mission. The thing is people haven't woken up yet. They're still drinking Kool-Aid. But there's that area where you got to awaken and fulfill the mission and stop living for you and start living for Him. Amen? Where did I say to go? Judges? Okay. Thank you. Judges 16. Is anybody there yet? Praise God. Oh, Samson. I love this story. Delilah. Blah, blah. Delilah. She was a liar. Delilah was no different than Judas. She was getting paid for cash to deceive Samson. Now, Samson was sent by God to rescue Israel. But you know what? He began to slowly lose sight of his mission. Fell into fornication. Married out of the tribe. All kinds of things were beginning to happen. And it wasn't good. And it says in verse 18, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart. Now, why would he tell her all his heart? Because she drove him nuts. She got to his soul and twisted it. And he lusted over her so badly that he was willing to give up his inheritance and his purpose and mission to satisfy her. When Delilah saw that he had told her his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart." So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she lured him to sleep on her knees and called for the man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him. Oh, nice. You know. Then she began to what? Torment him. And his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before. I'm going to go kick some butt just like I've been doing all these other times." But didn't even realize his hair had been gone. No touch. Can't touch this. So then she began to torment him, and his strength left him, and she said to the Philistines, "Come on, he's a weakie." And so he awoke from his sleep, and he said, "Man, I'm going to kick butt just like I did before." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. You know, many people don't know that the Lord departed from them, and they're still blessing themselves, still doing the same old things, not knowing that they're becoming spiritually blinded more and more and more, becoming more soulish, becoming more rebellious, becoming more independent. Now look at this in 21. Then the Philistines took him and did what? Put out his eyes. Put out his eyes. And brought him to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. And then eventually his hair grew back and he got some strength. But look at the wasted time. Not fulfilling. He still wasn't able to defeat them all. And Israel was in captivity. In Luke 24, Samson became spiritually blinded. Luke 24. Is everybody okay? In verse 13. Losing your sight. Verse 13, now behold, two men were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together all these things which had happened. Emmaus, I'm sorry. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then one whose name was Cephas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" Now he's talking to Jesus. This dude cannot see him. He doesn't know who he is. And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Hello. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was the prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things have happened. Yes, and a certain woman of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished right before them. Again, so many people don't even know that they're talking with Jesus, or Jesus is a part of their life and trying to rescue them and trying to bring comfort and trying to do many things. They don't even know it because they spiritually can't see. Does everybody understand that? The Bible says he never leaves us nor forsakes us. But the enemy wants you to think that he has. And when you agree with it, you start to become spiritually blinded again. Is everybody okay? Matthew 20. Again, we must be careful that we do not fall into the soulish arena of life again. We must stay in the spirit. Hallelujah. Why? Because those who are led by the spirits are sons and daughters of God, aren't they? It said nothing about the soulish. It said the soul needed to be renewed, transformed, converted, changed. And one of the things is people don't realize that your spirit, man, speaks with God all the time. Your soul interprets what God is saying. So if your soul ain't, hello? If your soul's not converted, how are you going to know what God is saying? Amen? But your spirit man, so now your spirit man, which is born again and strong, filled with the anointing, empowered by the eternal presence and power and truth of God Almighty, has dominion over your soul. Does everybody understand that? So when your soul starts to act up and says, how about feeling? No! Or your flesh says, lust affair. No. Why? Because your spirit man is stronger now. You're living by the Spirit, in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. When anything else is coming around, your inner spirit man, guided by the Holy Spirit, will pop up and say, no. Listen, after my visitation from the Lord and filled with the Holy Spirit, I didn't know the Word of God. In fact, I didn't even want to read it. Because I saw so many hypocrites, I didn't want to know the Word. And the Lord kept telling me, come on, it's time. It's time. I said, no. Why do I need to read the Word of God when I can hear your voice and talk with you? And he said that I want you to be able to teach this Word. I want you to know my Word to teach it. But see, I didn't want to read the Bible. I just wanted to walk with him. Because I was concerned once I started this, I would lose him. And I've seen it happen to many people. People get caught up by the letter and lose the presence of God. They rely on everything of the Bible. No, don't get me wrong, the Bible is true. But you know what? There's a lot more than just what's written in this. There is a person who created me and you. And he left his spirit for me and you so that we can walk with him. And I like walking with him heart to heart, hand to hand, and cheek to cheek. Because not only is he my dad, but he's my best friend. And he puts up with me. As he puts up with all of us. Because his love is unconditional. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. He's just trying to get the best for us. But too many times we settle for good, not wait for the best. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Matthew 20. Is that what I said? Good. Matthew 20, verse 29. Praise God. Would you read it with me? Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, two blind men sitting by the road. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." Now these guys were blind, and they knew who he was, because they heard everybody else speaking about it. Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. Shut up, man. They're telling, here's the multitude telling these dudes to be quiet, and they're crying out to the Lord. But they cried out all the more, hallelujah, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Do you know that how many times the Lord asks us that? "What do you want me to do for you?" But we miss it. We miss it. When he's saying, "What do you want? What can I do for you?" See, we get so caught up in, "What can I do for you?" Does everybody get it? That there's times when he's saying, "What can I do for you? What do you need? I know what you need." You know what he's wanting you to do? Ask for it. He's wanting you to speak it. Because confession brings possession. Amen? And he said to them, "What do you want me to do?" And they said, "Lord, that our eyes may be open." So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight. And they what? They what? They followed him. Did Jesus know they would follow him if they got sight? Yes. Some people still haven't received their sight because he knows they ain't willing to follow him. Oh, hallelujah. In Luke 4. Luke 4. And some people are losing their sight because they're not willing to follow him. Luke 4:18. Would you read it with me? You know, you got to ask yourself sometime, am I still willing to do whatever it takes? Do I still really want to please God? And do I still really want to be free? Do I still want to be free? You know, many people have tasted freedom and gone back into bondage again. And they have forgotten what freedom tastes like and what it's like. And that's an area where you and I have got to maintain a humble attitude all the time and grateful. It's nice that you can go to a water faucet and turn it on and it comes out. And it's not black. They're the little things that we need to be grateful for. Too many times we're looking for the big things to be grateful. But some of the littlest things is some of the most important things. Because even the word says a little leaven leavens a whole lump. Sometimes we're ignoring the little things that are hindering us. Amen? In verse 18, would you read it with me? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the what? To the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom or liberty to the captives, and recovery of what? Sight to the blind." What? Wait a minute. Recovery of sight. Where? That was lost in the garden. "To set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." So we must be consistent in the area. In other words, just like the woman with the issue of blood that fought through until she got healed. Too many people give up. They quit. They run. They run right back into the hands of the devil. I mean, not many people have completed something. Completed prison terms. Because we had no choice. Remember, God never interrupts himself either. Amen? Never. What's the purpose of that? So that you and I can complete something for training to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might and not our own. In Revelation 3. Revelation chapter 3. There's something the word says. It says that you and I should see our calling. We should see our calling. See your calling. Now there's three parts of our calling. I'm not going to get into. There's the present. Then there's the short term, and then there's the long term. Present, short term, long term of our calling. And sometimes our first part of our present calling is only to prepare us for the next part. And so many times people, because they're not sensitive enough, they're still holding on to the present calling when it's past. And it prevents them from going to the next level. because they're emotionally attached to it. And they get caught up, again, because they're not sensitive enough in the spirit, not willing to make the change. Sometimes we might need to make that exchange for a new change. Amen? In Revelation 3 and verse 17, it says, Jesus said to them, because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me. That's a price that we must pay. It says, buy it from him. That means you got to get to him. Gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, in white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And what? Anoint your eyes. Anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may what? That you may see. Let me tell you something. It's the anointing that brings vision. It's the anointing that brings sight. That's why it's so important to be fellowship. That's why it's so important to praise and worship. The more you praise and worship, the more God's presence comes. The less you praise and worship, the less presence comes. Why? Because what you sow is what you reap. You want to stay blinded the rest of your life and just become religious and never see things all the way through, see spirits and walk into the spirit? Easily bound, easily deceived, easily taken out of position again? That's why it's important to be filled with the Spirit of God constantly. The Bible says, be not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why we praise and worship. That's why we go after him. Why? So we can keep the scales off. Do we okay? Praise God. It says in verse 9, for as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and what? Repent. Turn from those things. 1 John chapter 2. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Losing your sight. We don't want to lose our sight. Some of us need to get our sight. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, do not love the world. Why? Because by loving the world, you'll become blinded again. The world, those who love the world are blinded. They can't see spiritually. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the what? Lust of the what? Flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Those are your three temptations, aren't they? And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. He who does the will of God abides forever. That means you better be able to see. Amen? Go to Acts 9. Acts chapter 9. Praise God. You know, salvation is the first step. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the second. There's a lot of people who are Jesus is Savior, but not Lord yet, even though they proclaim it. Jesus cannot be your Lord until you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. But he can be your Savior. Because when he's your Lord, you don't live for you no more. He is the Lord over your life. You no longer have one. Other than that, if you're not in that place yet, he's just your Savior. In Acts chapter 9. And when he becomes your Lord, I can guarantee you, you'll stay free. Verse 17. Would you read it with me? And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your what? Sight. And be what? Filled with the what? Holy Spirit. Does everybody get that? Why? Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit will bring you sight. Immediately, as he laid his hands on him and prayed for him to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, immediately there fell from his eyes something like what? Scales. And he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Then he got baptized in water. So don't let anybody tell you you can't get baptized in the Holy Spirit before you get baptized in water. In fact, baptism of water is the same symbolic meaning as being washed by the blood of Jesus. Has everybody got it? Can you imagine? Oh, it has nothing to do with entering heaven. Hello? Or we'd have to go pull every person out of their grave and baptize them in the water to get them home? No, we wouldn't have to do that. Baptism of water is symbolic Amen. But we do baptize people with water because we become, you witness that on heaven, hell, and on the earth to others. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the second baptism. The first baptism is the remission of sin, where you and I are washed, baptized by the blood of Christ with repentance. And that's where Jesus becomes your Lord. Now you want to maintain that place because the scales come off. You're able to see spiritually. You're able to see things. You're able to discern. You're more sensitive. There's more of a love affair. But I'm going to tell you that the devil isn't going to stand back and let you just become a full-blown Christian, a warrior, armed and dangerous. He's going to do everything he can to resist you from fulfilling your mission, your call, your purpose, and your new identity. He does not want you to know he's afraid of you. Hello? 1 John chapter 3. Oh, yeah. Don't let the devil steal your sight. 1 John chapter 3. In verse 1, is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we will know that when he is revealed, we shall be what? Like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So don't give up. Don't quit. Fight. The eyes of the Lord are on us. He's with us. He's not against us. But I can tell you that the enemy will do everything he can to steal your sight and put you blind again. And he starts off by getting you in the soulish arena. How things feel. Offense. Never seen a dead person be offended yet. Well, what about me? See, that's all soulish stuff. He starts by getting you in the soulish arena of pleasing man instead of pleasing God. The Word warns us in those arenas. Even with brothers and sisters that are unruly, don't approve it. Why? Because if you do, you're soulish. And that means you already are becoming blinded. You're already losing your sight. It says that there are brothers and sisters, but don't approve it. How soulish you want to be and how blind you want to become. Stay in the Spirit. Stay in the Spirit. Do not allow the enemy to manipulate your soul. Amen? Because that's the beginning of it. That's how he starts. Because he brings you to you. Amen? Is everybody okay? Praise God. We want to stay in the Spirit. We want to be led by the Spirit. And we want the anointing to maintain the scales off of us so that we see correctly. Amen? Is everybody all right? Got it? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask, Lord, that you would unction us when we begin to lose our sight. Help us, Lord, that we don't get swayed like the rest of the world is swayed. But we pray, Lord, that those that have called on you, that are your children, that have been swayed and taken captive, that you would refill them, refresh them, and restore their sight, that they may see, know, and follow. And Lord, that those that don't have sight, Lord, that you would fill them and baptize them in the Holy Spirit, that the scales would come off, and that they would receive sight to follow you all the way through, and to know you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.